For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
My God, should die. preaching on the subject being in the will of God. When we study the book of Joshua, we know that if Joshua would have been out of the will of God at the walls of Jericho, God would not have been on his side. Because when we study the exploits of Joshua, whenever he stepped out of the will of God, whether knowingly or unknowingly, he always fell into some predicament. When we study the Old Testament, we can see the same situation. Abraham, when there was a drought, traveled to Egypt. He stepped out of the will of God instead of staying where God had told him to stay. And there he fell into trouble. When we study David, King David, every time he stepped out of the will of God, it brought problems into his situation and into his life. So this should be a warning to us that we need to stay in the will of God as Christians. We need to walk according to his will. But I personally believe most Christians, a lot of Christians today, the way they grieve God is they don't realize who they are in Christ. They're not sure of their salvation. They don't seem to totally believe that it's only through the blood of Jesus. They have to add something to it, whether it's religion or some work or some law. Yes, the Lord Jesus has been grieved by many of his children who heaped to themselves teachers that put them under the law, instead of relying and depending on the sacrifice of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, they turned to beggarly elements of this world, doing something, trying to prove to themselves that they belong to God. If you have to prove to yourself that you belong to God by doing something, that tells me, and that tells the Holy Spirit, and that tells Satan that you don't totally trust the work of the cross. And people need to understand that instead of trying to please God by doing some work, they should seek him out and be blessed by what he did for them. The Apostle Paul made it very clear. He said, I have nothing to boast. It's not what I do for the Lord. It's what the Lord did for us. And today I will teach on this subject, on how we can be pleasing to our God. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I pray that you will open the hearts of those that are listening. Lord, I know that we are approaching the end, and much confusion will set in. People will wander to and fro, trying to figure out how to please you. Lord, I pray that you will open their hearts today so that they can become a blessing. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I talk to people on the subject of grieving the Holy Spirit, I personally believe what grieves the Holy Spirit the most is when a person doubts his salvation. He does not believe totally that it's through the precious blood of Christ that we are saved and made holy. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Lord God, through the Holy Spirit, has sealed us the moment we became born again. Anybody who understands what the word sealed means will know what I'm saying. God has purchased you through the precious blood of Jesus. He has then made you a new creation in Christ. He then sealed you unto the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit. And if you doubt that, then you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Of course, there are many ways to grieve the Holy Spirit once you're born again, but I believe this is the first and foremost that grieves God the most. It tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 16, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." When a person is born again, he then becomes a branch of God. He then becomes a part of God. And who is the first fruit of all of Christianity? It is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our head. He is holy. And the Bible teaches us if he is holy, then we are also holy in the eyes of God. We need to understand that, and we need to be blessed by that. Many Christians have problems with depression because they're not sure of their salvation. I remember counseling a brother who had a problem with depression, and his depression was that he wasn't sure that he was saved. He believed in Jesus, he believed in the blood of Jesus, but in his heart he wasn't sure. Something kept him doubting. And when I prayed with him and talked to him about it, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that he, the Holy Spirit, was grieved by his doubt in his salvation. And that brought a light to this brother, and he was able to recover from his depression. Instead of feeling unworthy of the saving grace of God and doubting his salvation, he started to rejoice in what Jesus did for him, and that brought him a revelation on what pleases God. What pleases God the most is when a person is totally sure about who he is in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it tells us, "In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." It is very clearly written that it's through Jesus that we receive life. Through Adam, we receive death. But through Jesus, we receive life. When we study King David in the book of Psalms, he rejoices in the Lord. His biggest problem came when he fell into sin with Bathsheba. And once the sin was exposed, in his repentance, he cried out to God, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Remove not thine Holy Spirit from me." He was terribly afraid that the joy of the Holy Spirit will be removed from him, because this is what brought him the joy of his life. He tells us in Psalm 116, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" That's in Psalm 116, verse 12. King David is asking himself, "What shall I render unto the Lord because he has given me so many benefits?" He was seeking the Lord on how to please him for all those benefits. And the Lord spoke to his heart, and here is the answer. He said, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." The first and foremost thing that God wanted him to do was take the cup of God's salvation. And this is exactly what God is speaking to us today. If you want to please me the most, rejoice in my salvation. We, the Christians, need to study Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about being sealed unto the day of redemption. It talks about being a purchased possession. It talks about being seated in heavenly places. The Apostle Paul clearly teaches us, it's not that I have anything to boast about what I'm doing for God. I boast about what God did for me. Is that your case today? Or are you still doubting that the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from your sin? The Lord wants us to understand, before we knew Him, when we were dead in trespasses and sin, when we were following Satan, He died for us. He gave His precious blood for us. And He paid for our sin on the cross in the times when we had no use for Him, when we had no love for Him. Jesus died for us and paid for our iniquities. While we were dead in trespasses and sin, He paid for our sin on the cross. That was His love towards us. Much more now, when we belong to Him, will He keep us from the evil one and will not lose any one of us. The Bible teaches us very clearly, those who come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. He will lose no one. He will keep us throughout eternity. That should bring joy and peace to the believer's heart. Yes, we need to study Scripture on the assurance of our salvation, because I know that brings joy to a believer's heart. So where does that leave you? When you turn to the Lord, were you filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit? Today, many preachers will teach, come to Jesus, salvation is for free. Then they start piling do's and don'ts upon you. In other words, salvation is for free. But once you're there, you have to start paying rent. That's not how it is. Once the Holy Spirit has drawn you and you accept Jesus as your Savior, you then become a purchased possession. You are then seated in heavenly places, out of reach of Satan. You then receive the mind of Christ. And throughout eternity, you will think like Christ. You will never leave Him nor forsake Him, because He has placed His Spirit within you. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible teaches us that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come will ever be able to separate us from the love of God which Christ has towards us. This is an assurance that regardless what happens in the future, once you become a Christian, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Where does that leave you? Sinner friend, if you're out there and you don't know the Lord yet, after hearing a message like that, that should somehow do something to your spirit and your heart. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him as your Savior. Repent of your sin. Give Him your life, because we are heading for destruction. This planet will soon experience the wrath of God. Yes, His wrath will be poured out upon this planet. And those who don't know Him will have to go through some awful, terrible times. Yes, the destruction that is coming upon this planet is beyond our imagination. But for those who know the Lord, they will be rescued. They will be taken out. The Bible teaches us, like as in the days of Noah, like as in the days of Lot. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come to try them that dwell upon the earth. But regardless how horrifying the tribulation will be, the eternal lake of fire is going to be far worse. Because once you're in the lake of fire, there is no more hope. You then will have to spend eternity where the Bible teaches the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. And God does not want you to go to that place which he has prepared for the devil and his angels. But when you will follow him, this is where you will end up. So turn to Jesus today. Give him your heart and your life, and you will find rest for your soul. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
They hung their heads in sorrow. Jesus, their Lord, had died. No reason to live tomorrow. 11 bowed down and cried. Then Mary ran down a dusty road. Cried, Peter, come see where he lay. For I've seen the Master outside the
We studied the Old and the New Testament on how to please and love the Lord. It tells us very clearly in both books, the best way to please and love the Lord is to allow him to love us and to brag about that love, to tell the whole world of the love of God that he has towards his creation. This is what pleases the Lord the most. He tells his disciples in Mark chapter 16, go you into all the world and preach of that great love that I have towards the ones that I created. This is the deep truth on the message of salvation. It teaches us on God's great love that he has for all those whom he created. This is why he came down to die for us, to pay for our sin. It was his great love towards us. In John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the apostle Peter. He is asking him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I do, Lord. You know that I love you. And the Lord said to Peter, then feed my lambs. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was grieved in his heart, and he said, yes, I do, Lord. And the Lord said to him, then feed my sheep. 3 times he repeated that question, and 3 times he gave him the same answer. So what does that show us? It simply tells us that if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we will feed the Lord's sheep. We will bring them to the foot of the cross where they can turn to Jesus for salvation. And then the Apostle Peter asked a question of the Lord about the Apostle John. What will happen to him? He is the closest to you. He leaned on your breast at the supper table. And the Lord told him, that's none of your business. You follow me. And this should give us an indication that we shouldn't meddle in other people's ministries, but to walk according to the calling that God has called us. For the Lord has called his people, and they belong to him. They will be judged by him. It is none of our business. Our business is to follow the Lord. And then we will ask the question, how do we honor God? Every Christian alive wants to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 3, verse 9, there is a very interesting scripture that shows us how to honor our God. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So here is the answer for all of those of you who want to honor God. Bring a tenth of your substance into the storehouse of God, which is the local church where you go to every Sunday. Bring a tenth of your substance, and God will be honored. This is a very interesting command from the Lord. The way to honor him is to bring your substance. Why would he tell us to do that? It is simply so that when you bring your substance into the house of God, the house of God will use that substance to feed the sheep of God and to preach the gospel of God, so that the Lord, through those substance, can show his great love towards those whom he has created. This is all what it's all about. Us bringing our first fruits to him. He will use the first fruits to preach the precious gospel so that his love can be shown to his creation. We need to understand that it is not some gimmick that somebody has planned and conjured up. It's not trying to get money out of people. It is to show the love of God to his creation. When we do that, we will honor him and show that we love him. The Lord will open your hearts to this awesome truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.